Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. Yesterday, the hashtag #CancelEverything trended all day on Twitter, a response to the very public debates about how to respond to the coronavirus. Today, as of 12:27 and 43 seconds on March 12th, we learned that two public schools in the Bronx are closed because a student reported having self-confirmed positive test for the virus. Self-confirmed means the case is not yet formally entered into the state's database, which brings us back to the question, what should close, what should stay open? Stores, schools, cultural institutions. And life in the time of pandemic raises other questions. Is it problematic to entice people to gather in large theaters by offering lower ticket prices? Is the health risk greater in a subway car or an Uber? And why are people hoarding toilet paper? Really? Why? Our colleague Ben Yakis, who is arts and culture editor at Gothamist, has been reporting on this all week, and he joins me now from the relative safety of his home office. I have not seen your home office, so I can only count on you, Ben, to tell me if it's safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's safe except for my dog barking in the background, but other than that, it's pretty safe.
Okay. So this time yesterday, there was a lot of misinformation about New York's St. Patrick's Day parade. What's the official word, and who made the official call?
So it has officially been postponed, and the official call was made by the St. Patrick's Day Parade and Celebration Committee. So this is the group that runs the parade. And yeah, over the last 3 days, we have seen every report you can imagine. We've seen de Blasio saying it's absolutely not getting canceled. We've seen Cuomo saying, well, maybe it'll get canceled. We're not sure. And while this is happening, other cities across the country have been canceling their parades and events like this, of this size.
So what took so long?
What you're seeing happening across the city and across a lot of the country is a lot of half measures. City and state leaders, they don't want to cause a panic, but at the same time, they are aware that not doing full measures are not necessarily going to contain anything. So someone like de Blasio has been trying to keep a very positive, upbeat attitude all week and encourage people to keep going out because he's aware of the economic impact that this is going to have all across the city in every industry. Restaurants are already closing by the dozens every day. So for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, this is something that brings in a lot of money. This is really good for tourism. This is really good for local businesses. And I think that they did not want to give up immediately on the idea that they were going to have to shut this down. And for Cuomo, he sort of stepped in and he said that he wanted to give organizers the room to do the right thing. He wanted them to cancel it of their own volition rather than force their hand. Because, of course, the state could have stepped in and said, we cannot have this, we have to stop this. Thankfully, everybody was able to talk behind the scenes yesterday, and after a lot of back and forth and a lot of preemptive reporting, it finally was officially postponed, which is really funny to me because I guess that means we might have St. Patrick's Day Parade in August now?
All right, cynical Allison's going to step up to the mic for a minute. Was there any of the de Blasio Cuomo tension at play here?
So I'm sure people know this. Cuomo and de Blasio, as long as they've both been in office together, have just constantly butted heads on very petty sort of things. I would say that in this case, I do not think that that necessarily is what caused the confusion here. But I would say that there's a lot of mixed messaging coming out of state and city leadership. And I don't think that everyone is necessarily on the same page. Now, at the same time, you can say that that's true of the president and the federal government as well. We're getting a lot of mixed messages. Just today, Vice President Pence was talking about how there was irresponsible downplaying of the dangers of coronavirus. And then you have Trump saying, oh, it'll go away. It'll go away. So I think this is a problem that's happening on every level of government right now, not just unique to the city.
My guest is Ben Yakis. He is arts and culture editor at Gothamist. He's been reporting all week on openings and closings. So let's talk a little bit. People keep saying we haven't experienced something like this before. This is unique. There are a few historical examples of the right way and the wrong way to behave in cities during a pandemic. What did your research find?
So I think the one that's most apt is to look back at the Spanish flu of 1918-1919. And the most similar situation that they had during that period was something called the Fourth Liberty Loan Drive, which took place in Philadelphia in September of 1918. So this was at a point when the Spanish flu was just being introduced. It would really go on in 1919 to rage throughout the country. But in 1918, they were in a sort of, you know, mid through 1918, they were in a similar situation where some people were really worried and some people were like, oh, we can still go about our day-to-day lives. We don't have to change everything just yet. So they had this parade, and in the days before the parade, the head of the Philadelphia's Naval Hospital had said, there's no case for further alarm. We believe we have this in hand. The parade goes forward. Over 200,000 people gather to walk down the street, and this was in celebration of an Allied victory in World War I. Within a week of the rally, an estimated 45,000 Philadelphians were afflicted with influenza. And historians point to this specific parade as one of the major factors in it sort of getting out of control. And Philadelphia had some of the largest death totals of any city in America during the Spanish flu.
I like that you did your homework for us. Thank you so much, Ben. So there's been this interesting debate going on about theater in the city, and that Broadway is still open, and that, in fact, there are some tickets prices being slashed. What is going on in the theater world?
So I talked to the president of Broadway League this week, and this is the trade group that represents owners and producers. And while they laid out a lot of ways in which they're listening to experts and taking precautions, putting in more hand sanitizer, wiping down the theaters more regularly, generally their feeling is that they're going to stay open for business until they're mandated by the city, state, or federal government to shut down. Now, the idea there is partially that they want to keep people employed, and partially that if a Broadway production cancels voluntarily, it won't receive insurance coverage for loss of income. If there's a government mandate to shutter, losses incurred after two shows closed could be covered. So for them, there's an understandable desire to try not to voluntarily do this. They're going to lose a humongous amount of money. And they're already seeing some downturns in people coming to see them. But I talked to an expert. I talked to Dr. Erwin Redlener, who's the director of Columbia University's National Center for Disaster Preparedness. And he basically said that people have to get used to the fact that day-to-day life is going to change remarkably now. And he told me that we're getting to a point where public health concerns are going to override the economic downsides of closing major events, and that public health just has to take priority.
Well, I've noticed I'm on Gotham's site already. It says New York Public Libraries cancel on March events in response to coronavirus spread. What other things have been canceled that people might want to know about? Or
we know that the NBA canceled the season, or at least postponed the season for now. The Big Ten and a lot of other college basketball tournaments, which were supposed to occur in the next week or two, have all started canceling. A lot of events like Stephen Colbert, all the late night shows, all the daytime talk shows that film out of New York, they're all going audienceless. So if you had tickets or were trying to get tickets, you're not going to be able to go for the next week or two at least to be able to see that in person. And now, mind you, while this is all going on, Mayor de Blasio went on CNN this morning, and he said he still doesn't want Broadway to go dark. He's still trying to figure out more half measures of how they could reduce capacity, do anything they can not to close completely. And the one thing that we know for sure, the one thing that all experts have been saying, is that the only effective measure against coronavirus is extreme social distancing. We've seen that in China. Once they started canceling the public gatherings and asked people to self-quarantine, the number of new cases leveled off. And I think that until city and state governments really start taking that seriously, especially with concert venues, Broadway, sports things, anything where there's a large gathering of people, we're not going to see a downturn in the amount of cases. This is only going to get worse until we really, really clamp down on some of this stuff.
But it's so interesting. We've been talking about half measures. What about places which are somewhere in between being extraordinarily crowded and being in your own bubble, a place like the museums. I mean, some of these enormous museums.
Yeah. And museums, this is something that they are really struggling with right now. I spoke to somebody from almost all the major museums in the city, and most of them were like, you know, we are following the guidelines that the CDC is putting out. We are wiping down every surface every day. We are putting out all the hand sanitizer we can possibly get our hands on. But even so, doing that, there have been reports that we have seen of like 40% downturn in foot traffic at some museums. People are kind of naturally, it seems, staying away because you're in an enclosed space with a lot of people of varying age groups, and that's kind of the most dangerous thing. You know, there's a lot of people you're going to hear who are going to argue young people are not as at risk, so why should they change their day-to-day lives, or why should they stop themselves from going to a museum? But the danger is that this is going to keep spreading, and that there are lots of people who are more at risk who are going to be exposed to it. And at the same time, all of our hospitals and care facilities are going to be overwhelmed with people coming in. And they're not necessarily going to have the resources to be able to handle young and old people who need to get on respirators or need to get fluids or whatever treatments they're able to be given. So it's really tough because it is at the moment, as far as the city is concerned, it is up to the individual to decide how comfortable they are with going into these places and trusting them to be responsible with their own health. The problem is, how much can we trust when symptoms don't emerge for a week or two at times? So you could be walking around in public and have no idea that you do have it or that you have an incredibly mild version of it, but you could pass that along on a stairwell or in a bathroom or wherever it is to somebody else.
Everybody wash your hands. Everybody wash your hands. Gothamist arts and culture editor Ben Yakis, while I miss seeing your face, I'm glad you're home safe.
I know. Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.